Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks, DC. Let's go. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's going to be a fantastic hour. I've got so many surprises for you. I can't wait to share this show with you. And I want you to call right now. Get in on this. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. Studio line to talk to me for free on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You can also email the program if you're so inclined. The address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Give us your thoughts, your questions, show ideas. We'd love to hear them. And you can also follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show handle is at Cale Clark Show. Well, guess what? Today is the feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, usually on Fridays on the Cale Clark Show, we kind of let our hair down a little bit, and we will later, for sure. Don't worry about that. Someone who really couldn't let his hair down, because he really didn't have much, was St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, the Dominican monks, you know, they have the tonsure, they got the shaved head with a little circle of hair around it. You know what I'm talking about. And today is his feast day, and I'm going to tell you about the one moment in his life, the one moment making a faithful choice that really changed the course of history. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Now, you might know that St. Thomas Aquinas is called the angelic doctor. He's one of the doctors of the church. And you might wonder, well, how did he get that name? Why is he called the angelic doctor? Well, let me tell you a little bit about that. I just got to pull. Oh, here it is. Okay. I thought I lost my notes there for a second. So there are obviously a lot of saints in the history of the church, but the doctors of the church, and there are men and women who are basically seen as great teachers on different issues, on different topics. And by the way, that title, doctor, that actually comes from a Latin root word, docere, which means to teach. So Thomas Aquinas wrote so much stuff during his lifetime, you know, the Summa Theologica. And it's so dense, it's so comprehensive. And in fact, others, like Dr. Peter Kraft, who's a good friend of the program, he had to write a Summa of the Summa, you know, like a summary of the Summa Theologiae. And of course, he had the Summa Contra Gentiles, you know, how do you deal with, you know, the pagan worldview? Basically, what he was doing in his writings, he answered the questions that people had in his time, in his day. And that's what we need right now, really, in the Catholic Church. We need people who can explain and defend the Catholic faith in a way that people can understand it, and also answer the questions that modern men and women have about it. So that's a great, we should all strive to be doctors of the church in that sense, to be teachers of the faith. But what about, why is he called the angelic doctor? Why is Thomas Aquinas called that? Well, there's a lot of potential answers to that question. Pope Benedict XVI, back in 2010, he gave a general audience talk where he kind of dealt with this, and his take on it was that he was called the Doctor Angelicus, or the angelic doctor, because of his virtue. In particular, his sublime thought. You know, he had some incredible wisdom, and I'm going to be sharing with you the top quotes from the life. They're probably not even the top. He said so much stuff that was just brilliant. I'm going to give you what I think are some of the best quotes from St. Thomas Aquinas, and they're just as amazing today as when he wrote them in the Middle Ages. Also, Pope Benedict said that he was called the angelic doctor because of the purity of his life, the purity of his life. And here's what it says about purity in the Catholic Encyclopedia, about purity of mind and body. It says that purity of mind and body contributes in no small degree to clearness of vision. And I think that's true in a couple of ways. It's if our mind is not pure, and there are a lot of things that people can look at these days and think about that are far from pure, that affects their vision. It affects their vision about life, about reality. And also, if somebody is not living the virtue of purity, it makes it very, very difficult to share your holy Catholic faith, to do what we call apostolate, if you're not living purity. And the reason is because you just feel, well, how can I preach to somebody else if I'm kind of wallowing in the mud here, if I'm living this impure life, or I've fallen prey to impurity? That's one of the tricks that the enemy tries to get you to fall into so that you don't share your faith. So obviously the remedy for that is just to go to confession, number one. But number two, to say that, hey, God can use imperfect vessels. And yeah, you may have made mistakes, but that should not prevent you from sharing your faith. All the more so to tell people that we need God. But the other reason that why, getting back to the question of why he's called the angelic doctor, is because he wrote a lot about angels. And in fact, he has one of the most comprehensive theology of the angels in the history of the Catholic Church. But I want to answer this question that I posed at the top. What was the one moment of his life, the one choice that he made that really, and I'm not exaggerating, changed the course of history? Well, let me tell you about that. St. Thomas Aquinas, you might not know this, but his family did not want him to join the Dominicans. His family did not want him to live as a religious. In fact, his parents were so opposed to this way of life for him that they went to extreme measures to try to prevent him from following his vocation. In fact, his brothers actually kind of kidnapped him and kind of jailed him, kind of confined him in a castle that was owned by the family. And they went even further than this. And this is an attempt, obviously, to stop him from joining the Dominican order. They actually, his brothers even sent a prostitute into the room, hoping to tempt him to fall in the area of purity. That's unbelievable. Thanks, guys. Boy, you're really looking out for me. Well, you probably know this story. Things didn't exactly work out as the brothers wanted them to. St. Thomas was so incensed at this that he took a kind of a small log out of the fireplace, and he kind of brandished it like a torch, and he drove the woman out. He said, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You will not tempt me. I will not give up my virtue of purity." And so he kicked her out, and then he used that burning brand. He actually branded the sign of the cross onto the door, you know, and he was just overcome with a righteous anger, if you will. And so he did not fall, as his brothers hoped that he would. And according to the records of his canonization proceedings, when St. Thomas Aquinas was canonized, at that very moment, after he drove out the prostitute, he had a vision. And the vision was of two angels that descended from heaven. Speaking of the angelic doctor, this might be part of it. Two angels descended from heaven, and they bound a cord around his waist. And they said to him, "On God's behalf, we gird you with the girdle of chastity, the girdle of purity, a girdle which no attack will ever destroy." And so from that moment on, he was just absolutely faithful to his vocation of celibacy. And it's kind of like even today when a priest vests for Mass, he puts on what's called a cincture, which is that rope that he ties around his waist. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but that is meant to recall the virtue of purity, the virtue of chastity, the virtue of celibacy for the priests. And so that's what it's all about. And Pope Pius the 11th, he said this, and this is how crucial this moment was in the life of Thomas Aquinas. Pope Pius the 11th said, "If St. Thomas had not been victorious when his chastity was in peril, it is very probable that the church would never have had her angelic doctor." End of quote. And that's what I'm talking about. If he had given in when his brothers tried to tempt him to fall in the area of purity, we never would have had the angelic doctor. We never would have had all of his sublime writings and teachings. And he's the second greatest. I'm not going to say he's the greatest. I'm going to still give that one to St. Paul. I still think St. Paul is the greatest theologian in the history of the church. But a lot of people think it's St. Thomas Aquinas. I'd say he's number two with a bullet for sure. But the church never would have had. That, like, so much of our theology is based on his insights. God really gave him a gift. We never would have had that if it wasn't for that one choice that he made. And so for ourselves too, we can think about that and say, so much is riding on our faithfulness. So many people in our lives, people that we're going to meet, people that we're going to encounter, people that we know now, they're depending on us to be, as St. Paul says, lights shining in the darkness. You know, we live in a corrupt, depraved world, and people are looking for hope. They're asking the question, is this genuine? Is this faith genuine? Is anyone actually living this out? Is this an impossible ideal? And so the choices that we make to remain faithful to Christ are really important, because so many people are counting on us to reflect that light of Christ. And what happens if we fall? Obviously, Jesus has foreseen that too. And if we do have the misfortune of falling, we can use that as well as an opportunity to move closer to our Lord, take advantage, go to confession, and even our repentance and seeking confession. That can be an example to other people as well. The fact that, hey, he fell and he got up. You know, he got up off the canvas and he went another round with the enemy. It's a constant battle. Our Catholic life is a constant battle. And so that was the one key moment of faithfulness in the life of St. Thomas Aquinas that really, I think, I can't undersell this. I think it changed the course of the church. If he had fallen, so much depended on that moment. And so the drama of life, right? That's what it's all about. And so he's so incredible. I mean, what's so amazing about Aquinas as well is he had such an intellect, greatest brainiac other than St. Paul in the history of the church, like I said. Now, you could debate me on that, but he also had incredible humility. He was once quoted as saying, "I understood everything I've ever read." I wish I could say that. Every page he ever read, he understood exactly what was being said. And he also was so brilliant that, believe it or not, there's a story about him that he was once dictating to three different scribes, three different books about three different subjects at the same time. He was kind of holding court on like three, I don't know whether it was theology, politics, and literature. Who knows? But he could carry on many different high-level conversations in his head at the same time. But he was so humble. This is probably my favorite story about St. Thomas Aquinas. He was known as kind of a portly guy. He was a little overweight, maybe. In fact, he was called. Some people used to call him, when he was growing up in school, he was called the dumb ox. People used to make fun of him. But he had kind of a belly, and I can kind of relate to that. But he actually had to have like kind of a little semicircle cut out of his desk to fit his belly, his portly self. And as he was sitting at his desk one day, working and studying, some of his Dominican brothers decided they'd play a practical joke on him. So they said, "Hey, Thomas, look out the window. There's a flying cow." And he actually went up and went to the window and looked outside. And they were all laughing their heads off. And they said, we got you. And he said, "Well, I would rather believe that cows could fly than that my brothers could tell a lie." Oh, wow, that was a gotcha moment. But that's the kind of guy he was. And so we're celebrating him today. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You can call in 888-914-9149. Let me share with you some of the scintillating quotes from St. Thomas Aquinas' life. And believe me, they're just as fresh today as when he wrote them. I'm just going to give you, I could go on and on with this, so I'm just going to give you a few. These are really, really good. Here's one. Aquinas said, quote, "To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible." End of quote. I like that. The letter to the Hebrews says, hey, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because you first have to believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him, who try. And that's what faith is. It's a trust. Okay, I'm going to trust that if I seek him, I'll be able to find him. Here's another one. Another quote from Aquinas. Quote, "Beware the man of a single book." End of quote. I think he was trying to say that, hey, you should try to read a few things. Beware the man of a single book, especially if that book is, I don't know, the Da Vinci Code. Hey, I read the Da Vinci Code. No, that's not what it's all about. And Lucas, I know producer Lucas wanted to chime in on this one, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, you know, I know you've been trying to amass a library at your house, so I think if you needed any words of persuasion to convince your family that you should get a library, you should pull this quote from St. Thomas Aquinas and be like, look, St. Thomas Aquinas says, beware the man of a single book. That means we should go to the opposite extreme and get as many books as possible to grow in as much knowledge as possible.
Yeah, is there such a thing as having too many books? Well, that's a vice I think I can live with. That's for sure. I love that. Well, here's another one. St. Thomas Aquinas said, we must love them both, those whose opinions we share and those whose opinions we reject. For both have labored in the search for truth, and both have helped us in finding it. End of quote. Love them both, those whose opinions we share and those whose opinions we reject. It kind of reminds me of the slogan for the Hard Rock Cafe. Remember that? Love all, serve all. I think that motto is true. You know, Jesus said we have to love everybody, even our enemies. And those who argue with us, those who maybe quarrel with us over our Catholicism or have questions, genuine questions about the faith, that helps us to sharpen our own arguments. And hey, if somebody asks you a question that you don't really know the answer to, you can always say, hey, be honest, I'll get back to you. I can't answer that right now. The worst thing you can do is just kind of blurt out something that off the top of your head. And if you don't know, just admit it. Just be honest about that. The only know-it-all is in heaven, right? So that's a great quote too. Here's another one. This is a good one too. This would be a great tweet. The things that we love tell us what we are. The things that we love tell us what we are. You are what you eat. You probably heard that. You are what you love as well. That's something to really reflect on. That's deep. All right, here's another one. Another quote from Aquinas. There is nothing on this earth more to be prized than true friendship. I like that. And it's very difficult to find that these days, especially for men. That's something we've talked about on the program before. Men are suffering, especially in the culture, from something called FDD, friendship deficit disorder. One priest coined that phrase, and I think that's true. So many guys, they have people that they will watch football with, people that they will hang out with, maybe have a beer with, but they don't really have anybody that they can actually talk to about real deep problems in their life. And so I think that's a great quote on friendship from Aquinas. Here's another one. And he could have written this one like this morning. Listen to this quote from St. Thomas Aquinas, whose feast day it is today. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Quote from Aquinas, fear is such a powerful emotion for humans that when we allow it to take us over, it drives compassion right out of our hearts. End of quote. Wow, that's a good one. Fear is such a powerful emotion. When we allow it to take us over, it drives compassion right out of our hearts. Look at what's going on in the culture today. A lot of what's driving the deep divisions in the culture are sort of a fear of the other, a hatred of the person on the other side of the aisle. Oof, that's a punch to the gut right there from Aquinas. You can call in, by the way, if any of these are resonating with you, 888-914-9149. Norbert, I see you there. We'll get to your call shortly. Hang on there, man. Hang on. So make sure Norbert stays on there, Lucas. Here's another one. The soul is like an uninhabited world that comes to life only when God lays his head against us. Oh, that's kind of powerful. The soul is like an uninhabited world. It's kind of like the vast expanses of the interior life. You know, this is kind of an unexplored country for a lot of people. I love that. Now, here's one. I know producer Lucas likes this one. Another quote from, this is a very practical quote, I think, from St. Thomas Aquinas. Sorrow can be alleviated by a good sleep, a bath, and a glass of wine. End of quote. And I think, Lucas, didn't you do that right before the program? You kind of were
actually,
in the relevant radio.
That was my show prep. I was getting ready for the show, and I'm like, you know what? Relaxation. Alleviating my sorrows. That's what I need.
Yeah. But I think that's really practical, right?
Yeah.
That's really practical. Like when you're having a bad day, you know, it's a rough time. Sometimes just, you know, getting proper sleep. Just get a good sleep. Have a bath. Have a glass of wine. Now, I notice he only said a glass of wine. So
And, you know, if you wanted to up your game even one more, you could do it for your wife. Be like, draw the bath for your wife and make her a glass of wine. And then she'd be happy. And then you'd also be happy.
Wow. Well, Lucas, okay. Lance Romance here giving us some marriage advice. I appreciate that, Lucas. That's really good. Okay. Duly noted. All right. Here's another one. Most men seem to live according to sense rather than reason. End of quote. That's exactly also what's going on in our culture today. This whole man as beast mentality, right? You've got to indulge your passions. You've got to indulge your sensual appetites, your fleshly appetites. St. Paul put it this way in his first letter to the Corinthians. He said, "Food for the stomach and stomach for food." And that was actually a quote from the Corinthians, who were kind of into all kinds of things. Whenever somebody used to call them on their bad behavior, especially their sexual immorality, they would use this saying, "Hey, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. Hey, God gave us a stomach. He wants us to use it, right? He wants us to eat. God gave us these other things too. He obviously wants us to use them. Yeah, but in God's way, right?" That's why St. Paul said, "Yeah, you say that, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both if you're not doing it in accordance with the way He created us to live." So many great quotes from Aquinas. Here's another one. Three things are necessary for the salvation of man, and obviously woman as well: to know what he ought to believe, to know what he ought to desire, and to know what he ought to do. To know what to believe, to know what to desire, and to know what he ought to do. It kind of reminds me of the catechism, how the catechism is arranged by what to believe, the creed, right? What to do or how to live, the Ten Commandments, and then how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, is a model for prayer, the desire for God. I like that. I think that's really good. This is a good one, too. Well, I'll give you one more because we got to take a break in a second. He says, quote, St. Thomas Aquinas, "The truth of our faith becomes a matter of ridicule among the infidels if any Catholic not gifted with the necessary scientific learning presents as dogma what scientific scrutiny shows to be false." End of quote. And I like that because a lot of people walk around thinking that science and faith are at odds, at loggerheads with one another, and that they're afraid actually to look into the sciences because they're afraid they might find something that contradicts our faith. It's not the case. And Catholics have never really fallen into some of the embarrassing gaffes that other Christians have with respect to the age of the world, for example, the age of the universe. They fall into the literal six-day creation, for example. And scientists will laugh at them. Well, we've never really had that problem. And here's another one. It's kind of related to this. One more quote. "There must be first a first mover existing above all, and this we call God." So the universe had to start somewhere. This is the Big Bang Theory, right? And as we said, I think it was just yesterday we were talking about this. The Big Bang Theory was theorized by a Catholic priest, Father George Lemaître. He came up with the Big Bang Theory of cosmology. And so science and faith are not at odds. Science tells us how things happen in God's universe. Faith tells us why. What is the reason here? So all of this is really, really important. So lots of great quotes from St. Thomas Aquinas. And if you want to react to that, call in 888-914-9149. Got some surprises for you on the other side. We'll be right back with your phone calls and much more. The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
3rd and 20. Safford going for a goal. He's got a wide open man. It's Cooper Kupp who gets free. And Kupp rolls all the way to the end zone.
This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, there's Al Michaels on the call for NBC from last week's divisional game in the NFL playoffs between the GOAT, Tom Brady, and the defending champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are no more. They're not going to be able to defend the crown because the Rams took him out last week with the help of Cooper Kupp. He's got an interesting story, and I'm going to be sharing that with you in just a moment. And by the way, Bertha in Idaho, don't email me saying, why are you talking about football? It's not really a football story. Trust me, it's not a football story. It's a marriage story, and I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. And don't worry. We will give you our staff picks for this weekend. Producer Lucas, I call him now Lucas the Greek Holt, because he is now the leader in the clubhouse here with the NFL playoff picks. He's passed me and Patrick Alog, who's taking your calls today, 888-914-9149. Actually, we're going to go to the phones right now. Norbert is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, Norbert.
Hi, Kel. I really enjoy your show in my free time as a full-time college student from your Faith Explained program and occasional NFL scouting reports.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Norbert. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So you go to Long Beach State?
Yeah, I go to Long Beach State, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Are you a Rams fan?
Oh, yeah, I'm highly anticipating the one in Sunday.
Okay, all right. Yeah, me too. Hey, thanks so much, Norbert. I really appreciate the listen to not only this show, but also the Faith Explained program. And thank you so much, man. Appreciate the call. And you're going to want to definitely listen in to this next segment, especially if you are a Rams fan. Cooper Kupp is a guy who's really come to the forefront of national attention, especially this year. He won the Triple Crown, only the fourth person in the history of football to ever do this for receivers, yards, touchdowns, and receptions. So that was a quite outstanding. Great season with the Rams and quarterback Matthew Stafford this year. But that's not the part of him that I want to focus on. We do have a little clip, though, from this, another clip from this past weekend's game against Tampa Bay. Check this out.
Stafford, deep downfield. He's got Kupp again. He's at the 10.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp catching passes from Matthew Stafford. And that was a key one in the game. Pretty much sealed the game for the Rams last weekend. Has been something that Rams fans have gotten used to, and NFL fans have gotten used to this guy. Seems like he's kind of come out of nowhere. He was a third-round draft pick, and Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, has a great story about how Cooper Kupp's wife has really been a great inspiration for him. And I just love this story because the sacrifices that she made really made it possible for him to get to the pinnacle of his profession. So here's a question for you, for everybody listening to the Cale Clark show right now on Relevant Radio. Has your spouse, if you're married, inspired you or challenged you to achieve a dream or a goal in your life or something that you never thought was possible, something that you couldn't have done on your own? I want to hear about that. 888-914-9149. And this story on ESPN.com by Lindsay Theory started off by talking about how Cooper Kupp and his wife they kind of met when they were in college, and his wife's name is Anna, and they actually got married when they were in college too, which is pretty rare. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And Kupp was practicing football. This was at Washington State, and his wife was working at a restaurant called Rocco's Teriyaki. That sounds pretty delicious to me right about now. I haven't had dinner yet. So that's a small college town eatery in the town of Cheney, Washington, where Washington State University is located. And after football practice, Cooper Kupp would get into his white Nissan Pathfinder, often with a lot of his teammates piling in as well. And they would drive across campus. They'd go to the restaurant, Rocco's Teriyaki. And of course, Anna was expecting all of them. And so she would be working behind the cash register or serving takeout orders. And that was her job. And she supported her husband, Cooper, and herself through their college years. And the reason why she did that, she worked full-time so that he didn't have to worry about anything. He could kind of just focus on being a student and playing football. And he had actually tried to have other jobs while he was doing this as well. He had a landscaping job, but he just found it was just exhausting. He couldn't do it physically, all the physical football practicing that he had to do, obviously, plus landscaping. That's a really tough job. If you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. So she said, listen, don't worry about that. I'm going to work and I'm going to go to school. We're both going to go to school. I'll work. You do football and I'll take care of it. And so that's really, so Cooper Kupp gives his wife Anna credit for getting him to where he is right now, to the pinnacle of professional success in the NFL. And in fact, he was quoted as saying in the article, Cooper Kupp, "I really believe I may not be in the NFL if it wasn't for her and what she has inspired me and pushed me to do." And they have two young sons right now. And like I said, he won the Triple Crown this year in the NFL, the fourth player in history to lead the league in receptions with 145, receiving yards, 1,947 yards to be exact, and 16 receiving touchdowns. And a lot of Cooper Kupp's friends, they've been friends with him since he was in high school even, and in college. And his best friend is named Austin Wagner, and he said this: "His wife Anna is his rock. I don't think there is a Cooper without what Anna has done for him. She's a person that really expects a lot out of the people around her and has kind of a high threshold for excellence. Cooper works harder because of that." So they actually met when they were in high school. They were both running track. They met at a track meet. And he said that Cooper Kupp said as soon as he saw Anna, he knew that he wanted to marry her. That's so romantic. And he actually went home that day, told his mother, "I'm going to marry this girl." And of course he did. So they started dating. And at first, his wife Anna, who was also obviously an athlete, went to the University of Arkansas. She was a Razorback, and she was competing as a heptathlete. But they, you know, with Cooper Kupp being at Eastern Washington University, there was just too much distance between them. So she actually gave up 2 years of course credits that wouldn't transfer so that she could go to Eastern Washington, go to school, be close to him. And they got married the summer following their sophomore year in university. Cooper was 22. Anna was only 21 years old at the time. And a lot of people ask them, "Why did you guys get married so young? Didn't you feel like you were missing out?" And Anna said this in the profile: "No, we actually think the opposite. We felt so lucky to have found someone that we love and cherish so much so early in life," end of quote. And I love this. I love this because people have this expectation, well, you've got to experience life. You've got to date many, many people, that sort of thing. And people are getting married later and later in life. We know this. They're pushing off the marriage decision until much later. They're not getting married until they feel like they're established in their careers. They might feel like they don't have the cash to do it. Various reasons, but people are putting off marriage. They're getting married way later than they used to. And I just love this, the fact that they did it. They made the commitment, and they didn't have money either. Trust me, they had very little cash, and they refused to accept handouts from their parents. They felt like, no, we want to make it on our own. We're going to make our own way. We're going to provide for ourselves. I respect that. And I think a lot of people, a lot of young people need to take more of a chance on love and not sort of delay these decisions, especially if they know. Now, it's one thing if you've never met somebody that you don't think that you could commit to. But if you do, I have friends, trust me, I have friends who have, before they got married, they dated for this one couple. They dated for 8 years before they got married. And finally, the wife, her name was Jean, gave her soon-to-be husband an ultimatum. She's like, "Listen, it's been 8 years. I can't believe she stuck around for that long, but it's been 8 years. So come on, we're going to do this or not. You've got to make a decision. The train of life is leaving the station. So come on, what's it going to be?" So they got married. Thankfully, they have a wonderful family. And I think this kind of takes us back a little bit in a strange way to St. Thomas Aquinas, because here's one more quote. I'm going to give you one more quote from St. Thomas Aquinas, and it's this. I love this. I absolutely love this. Quote, "If the highest aim of a captain were to preserve his ship, he would keep it in port forever." So if you just want to keep the ship intact, you'd never leave the port. You'd never do it. But the ship was meant to sail on the seven seas, and life is meant to be lived. We've got to take the adventure of faith, take the leap of faith, whether it's into the vocation of marriage. There's always going to be some unanswered questions. You don't know the future. You don't know the future. And that's why, when, for example, in marriage, the marriage vows, for better or for worse. If people really knew what was coming, the challenges that life was going to throw their way as a married couple, they might never do it. If they could somehow see the future, they might never actually make that step of faith. out of fear or whatever, you know, avoidance of suffering. This is what Jesus said too to the apostles. There are many more things I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. All of them except for one were going to be martyred for their faith, and they all suffered. So, hey, if you knew what was coming, you might run right now and never come back. And they certainly did run when he was crucified, and except for John, and he was the only guy, oddly enough, that didn't get martyred, but they came back. And so God gives us the grace for the moment. God gives us the grace for the day. Not, he doesn't stockpile grace for the next 10 years. It's a day-by-day thing. It's a moment-by-moment thing. So I think more people need to sort of take hold of life, you know, and you know, if you feel like God's calling you to jump and not to, like blind Bartimaeus, when he calls you, get up. The coins go jangling, they go flying, and he went to Jesus. I don't know. I love that story. I thought it was really great. And hey, if you have a spouse that's kind of encouraged you in your life, in your job, your vocation, and kind of was that rock, kind of like Anna Cupp is for her husband, Cooper Cupp, I want to hear about that. 888-914-9149. Well, listen, we do have to make our picks for this weekend. So we need a little NFL primetime music. Producer Lucas. Okay, all right. He's finding it. Got to be the Swami here. Well, I will tell you this. This is where we stand right now after the divisional round. I was flying high. I was 5-1, and so was Patrick. I think Patrick keeps copying my picks for some reason. So we are now, we both went 0-4 last week, got every game wrong. So I'm 5-5 overall, still at the 500 level, not great, middling average. Patrick's 5-5. Lucas went 4-2 last weekend, and he is now 6-4 overall. So producer Lucas, what are you thinking? Who do you think is going to win the AFC championship game between the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, who sadly took out my Buffalo Bills, and great, great game. One of the greatest games I've ever seen. One of the most disappointing for me, but the Chiefs won. Now they're going to play Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and the high-flying Cincinnati Bengals. How do you see that one shaking down, Lucas?
Well, I've got to say, as much as I would like to see the Bengals, because I think they're an unlikely team to make the Super Bowl, I think that they're going to get beat pretty bad by the Chiefs. Ooh. I think the Chiefs are going to kind of lay it on them.
I think it's going to be a blowout. Okay,
well, I think it's going to be a blowout.
But don't forget, Cincinnati did beat them a few weeks ago.
I know. And Kansas City's going to get their revenge and just lay the hammer down.
Well, you know, I really like what Kansas City coach Andy Reid said to Patrick Mahomes before he pulled off the miracle comeback against the Bills. He said, when things are grim, be the Grim Reaper. And he certainly was. Yes. And I think the Grim Reaper is also going to come. I do think so for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think their Cinderella run ends. I think it's going to be a shootout, though. I don't think it's going to be a low-scoring game at all because Kansas City defense is terrible. I'm sorry, but Buffalo scored a lot of points on them for a reason. They're not great. They're not great right now. So I see a close game, a shootout, but I do see the Chiefs prevailing at home. Home field advantage is going to come through.
Hey, Kale, I've got news for you. We've actually got Patrick in studio as well. So
Patrick, okay, all right. So hey, you get to make this pick in person.
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree with Lucas as well and you as well. I think it's going to be the Chiefs, and I think they're even going to cover. So, yeah, okay. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I don't really have any rooting interest. I just hope for a good game.
All right. Okay. Well, I was tempted to go with the Bengals just because we somehow have to catch up to Lucas here. We're gonna have to take some chances here. He's pulled ahead in the standings, but
yeah.
But it's not just because I know people are calling the Chiefs Bills game last weekend the Super Bowl before the Super Bowl, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion at all that Kansas City wins it all. And let's go to the NFC right now. San Francisco is playing the LA Rams. A great question is: are there going to be more Niner fans in the stands at SoFi Stadium than Rams fans, as there were in their last game? And it was pretty embarrassing for the Rams, but maybe
the
Patrick's
fair weather
fans.
Patrick's from Southern California. What do you think, Patrick? You think there'll be more fans, Niner fans there?
I think there will, because I think just because the Rams haven't been in LA for that long after they moved to St. Louis, the 49ers have historically have a lot of fans, not just in Southern California, but nationwide. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think they will win and win three in a row against the Rams this season.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a big question, because going back a little bit, they've actually won the last six games against the Rams. And that's, at some point, you might think the law of averages might come into play here. What do you think, Lucas?
I think the Rams are going to win. I think they're going to win because I think they're hot right now. And I think the Niners, I don't know, but I'm going to stick with the Rams.
Okay, you're going to stick with the Rams.
You busting out that six-game stat is making me question it, but I'm going to stick with it.
I'm going to go Niners. I'm going to go Niners. Don't hate me, Los Angeles. Listen, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Rams win this game because they're pretty hot right now. And Jimmy G has looked, quarterback for the Niners, has looked more than shaky with his throws to the outside. They got to force him to throw it outside the numbers because he threw about like five near pick sixes last week against the Packers, but they still won. Debo Samuel is a beast. I'm going Niners, man. I think there's going to be a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago between the Niners and the Chiefs.
If the results go both our ways, it'll be a three-way tie going to the Super Bowl. So,
ooh, it's all going to come down to one. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it all shakes down. All right, so we'll see if Lucas the Greek is right again.
By the way, Kale, I had to tell Lucas what that reference was.
The Greek. Yeah, I wondered about that. Yeah, Jimmy the Greek Snyder used to be on the NFL Today. His career ended in infamy, some racist comments that he made. But yeah, he was a well-known prognosticator back in the day. That's reaching back in the Wayback Machine right there. Well, I think at this point, now that you have your picks, you're going to want to take them to Vegas. No, I'm only kidding. I don't advocate gambling at all. In fact, here's something about me that people might not know who listen to the show on a regular basis. I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but there was a time in the past where I actually worked at a casino. I might have to talk about that on the other side of the break, but that was an interesting experience. I learned a lot.
You're going to have to share that story.
Yeah. It was pretty eye-opening to me. So we'll talk about that if you want, and you can call in any other thing that you want to talk about. We will do that. Plus, the week that was. You're not going to want to miss this on the other side of the break. It's the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. Be right back.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
All right, welcome back. So glad to have you. This is our last segment before the weekend. And if you're on the line, stay there. Will, I see you there. Hang on. Don't hang up. I'm going to get your question in just a minute. 888-914-9149. He's got an interesting question about St. Thomas Aquinas, whose feast day it is today, and what he believed or didn't believe about the church's teachings on Mary. Ooh, you're going to want to stick around for that one. But first, as I promised, it's the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. I'm joined today by former NFL lineman Jared Belt here. He's running the cafeteria at his kids' Catholic school.
Preschoolers, man, they go for the ketchup bottle almost daily.
Who do you see taking home the Lombardi?
I think the Chiefs are going to be Super Bowl champs.
Take it to Vegas. Jared Belt here has given his pick.
Do not take it to Vegas. I'm notoriously bad with picks. So,
Carlos in Los Angeles.
What I would say to someone would be, forbidden the Bible to you, that I was kind of more self-centered and it was all about focusing on earthly things. Yeah. Now I focus on others and what I can do to try to go to heaven and get my family there as well.
You might hear some chatter in the Catholic blogosphere and Catholic Twitter, wherever. Oh, the consecration of Russia wasn't done right. JP2 didn't do it right. Hogwash. Sister Lucia said it herself. He did it right. Did Paul go into a trance? Did he sort of grab the quill and just say, you know, okay, Lord, I'm ready, and just he got zapped, and then he starts writing. Oh my goodness, I just wrote the letter to the Romans. How did I do that? No, he was using his personality, his background, his intelligence, but God, he's writing it. He doesn't know that he's writing scripture, but God is superintending the process. This past Sunday, during the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis was talking about how concerned he is, as we all are, for the situation of escalating tensions between the Ukraine and Russia. And he called for this day, today, the 26th of January, to be a day of prayer for peace. Jordan Peterson on the Joe Rogan Experience, talking about the Bible.
And so it isn't that the Bible is true. It's that the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth.
Truth, ultimately, God is truth. Truth, ultimately, is a person, the Word made flesh. If all the Bibles in the world disappeared somehow overnight, if they're all beamed up to the Starship Enterprise, the faith would still be intact, because our faith is not in a book. Our faith is in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Hey, we try to manifest as much truth as possible here on the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Thank you to producer Lucas Holt for another great week that was. But there's still a few minutes left in this week, so we're going to go to the phones right now. Will is calling from somewhere in California. Welcome to the program. Will, how are you?
Pretty good. Attached to California. Listen, you missed the most famous quote of Thomas Aquinas ever, and that being, if the soul of the Virgin Mary was immaculately conceived, that would be derogatory to the dignity of Christ. Elsewhere in the Sum of All Theology, the Delmox wrote, it must be held that all men, with the single exception of Christ, was born with the stain of original sin. I love that. Now, here's my question for you.
Okay.
Was the angelic doctor, the second greatest theologian of all time, second only to the Apostle Paul, is he wrong? I'll hang up and let you comment on that.
Okay, thanks, Will. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And yeah, that's something that if you know anything about St. Thomas Aquinas, you might have heard this in your travels throughout life. A lot of people object to the dogma of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary by saying that, hey, a lot of early church fathers didn't buy into it. The great St. Thomas Aquinas, he seems not to have believed in it. Well, a couple of things I would say about that, Will. That's a really good question. Number one is that if it had been a dogma of the church at the time, Aquinas would have bought into it for sure, because he was a faithful son of the church, and he submitted his intellect to the mind of Holy Mother Church and the Holy Spirit's guidance of the church on doctrinal matters. So if it had been a defined dogma at the time and then he rejected it, that would have been a problem, clearly. But that simply wasn't the case. And with a lot of things that there's a lot of things that the church has not dogmatically defined even to this point. And so people, theologians, do have debates about these issues. But once the dogma has been defined, the Holy Spirit has definitively made this known through the magisterium, the teaching office of the church, then all the faithful are bound to believe in it. So when it comes to the Immaculate Conception, it's something we've talked about a lot on the program before, but let me just, so I won't get into the whole definition. Well, actually, maybe it's good to define it a little bit, because so many people confuse this with the virginal conception of Jesus. The conception of Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Annunciation, that's not what this is about. Here's the actual definition, and this was made on December the 8th, 1854, by Pope Pius IX. He said, the Most Holy Virgin Mary was, in the first moment of her conception, by a unique gift of grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of mankind, preserved free from all stain of original sin. So that's what the Immaculate Conception is. It's not the virginal conception of Jesus, and it's not the Immaculate Reception by Franco Harris, the Steelers against the Raiders in the 70s. Okay, a little football joke there. But all right, so let me just deal with really quickly the question about Aquinas. This was debated hotly, obviously, in the Middle Ages, and a lot of theologians, and it wasn't just Aquinas either, St. Bernard, St. Bonaventure, they all had devotion to Mary, but they saw a bit of a difficulty, and it seems to imply that if Mary was preserved from all stain of original sin, it seems to imply that she didn't need a savior. So really the solution was provided by another theologian, Duns Scotus. Not Dunce Scotus. He wasn't a dunce at all. He was pretty smart. Duns Scotus. He was an English Franciscan theologian. And here's what he said in his writings. Okay, just because God preserved Mary from original sin, that doesn't mean that she didn't need a redeemer, that she didn't need a savior. Don't forget, in her Magnificat, she said, my spirit rejoices in God, my savior. So here's what he said. He said, God was her savior too, but the way that he saved her was different than the way that we get saved after we sin, after we're affected by original sin, but she was prevented from ever falling into sin in the first place, ever having been stained by original sin. It was a more perfect redemption. So it's kind of like this. You can pull the example he used is you can pull somebody out of a muddy pit. You can pull somebody out of quicksand and hose them off. So you've saved them from dying in the quicksand, but a more perfect way to save them is to prevent them from falling into the muddy pit in the first place, saying, hey, watch out, you know, don't go there. And so that's what we believe Christ did, that God did for Mary in view of her unique role in the economy of salvation. So that's a quick explanation. I hope that that helps, Will, and thank you for that question. I really appreciate you listening and appreciate you calling in. And unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program. So, Paul, call back next week. Paul in Chicago, I know you're on the line. Some others are on the line. Call back next week. We can always revisit this stuff next week and carry on the conversation. But I hope all of you have an awesome, awesome weekend. It's been a great show. It's been a great week. Thanks to producer Lucas Holt and Patrick Alok took your calls today. Back from California from his brother's wedding where he gave the best man speech and apparently did pretty well at that. So I'll raise a glass to you, Patrick, and I hope everyone sticks around. We've got lots of great stuff coming up this evening on Relevant Radio. Trending with Timory is up next, followed by the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky Hoffman, the CEO of Relevant Radio. I'm Cale Clark. Thanks for joining me on the program. God bless you. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.